I have your attention now. But the other people feel good. So it's just shifts and cycles. But this morning, I am so glad you're able to be here. This morning, with me, I want you to look at a very, very precious message from God. The title of this sermon this morning is, Somewhere Between Jordan and Jericho. This has really, really got some good points to it this morning. If you'll just lend an ear this morning, I want you to see what God has done and what God has brought us down from heaven, I believe, this morning. A message for us, the people. Please understand that every week, God has a perfect message intended for this place. But what He needs many times are messengers. He needs a key to the servant. Someone who is willing to give Him their all and surrender all. And even though every service won't be a service where the altar is full of people, as long as hearts have been challenged and you are better because you came and you are challenged throughout the week to be more for His glory and for His cause, then the job has been done. Now I want you to look with me this morning. I'm going to try to talk fast and go fast. I've got a few points I want to give you this morning. Let me give them to you to begin with. The first point is circumcision. Write that down. Underscore that. Circumcision. You'll find that in verse 2 to begin with. I want you to write down the second point, which is corn. We can relate to corn. My daddy started planting 60 acres of corn last year, just for the fun of it. Boy, little did he know that people will forsake their home and house, I mean, their land and everything for a bag of deer corn. I'm telling you, those people come by the shop pretty regular. Gives you a pretty good chance to witness to people, too. The third point is captain. So we have together this morning, collectively, circumcision, corn, and captain. Those are the three C's this morning. In this time of a lot of illness and sickness, we need our vitamin C to build our immune system. Amen? You have that this morning. Now look with me at the very first one. And look at verse 2 again with me. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskin. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. You want to know why he did it? This is why he did it. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way. They never made it to the promised land. Reason being, he'll tell us in just a moment. After they came out of Egypt, verse 5, now all the people that came out were circumcised. But all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, this is in the wilderness during this 40 years, in the wandering in the wilderness, the unsettling of people, them they had not circumcised. So those who were in Egypt were circumcised. Before they went there into the bondage of Egypt, they were circumcised. But those who were born of those of Egypt in the wilderness were not circumcised. Interesting fact. Look at verse 6. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed. It's amazing sometimes how many churches hold on to one or two funerals and that church will close out. But sometimes one or two funerals and that church will go forward and follow God. We won't know till we get to heaven, but I could sit down and probably talk to you a little one-on-one why some people are still here and why some people are not. It's amazing that God said the other people will not be able to enjoy the fruit of Canaan until you die. I'd hate to know that I were one of those people. And very easily we can be if we get in His way instead of His will. Please understand this morning, you're called to be His, not your own. Now look at this. Because they had not obeyed the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that He would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto his fathers that He would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. and their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. Our very first problem we have to deal with this morning is negligence. Neglect. Putting it off. There's always tomorrow. When are you going to quit smoking tomorrow? When are you going to start losing that weight tomorrow? When are you going to start doing things differently tomorrow? Because tomorrow is always the next day. You'll say that tomorrow. Tomorrow. You're putting it off. You're being negligent. You're neglecting the obvious. And you're only hurting yourself. By the way, that is why these children were not circumcised. Because they were unsettled in the wilderness. And they did not take time to be distinctly different from God. When the Abrahamic covenant was being made, and God made this promise, in short, that your descendants, your seed, those who follow after you, and I've told you before, I'll tell you again, if you're born of Christ, you are the seed of Abraham this morning. You are one of those descendants. And he says that your descendants will walk into Canaan. But now this promise has been fulfilled. But God gets to this point. They just crossed Jordan in chapter 4. They're fixing to fight Jericho in chapter 6. So it would be fitting that the title of this message is Somewhere Between Jordan and Jericho. And you want to know where that is? That's chapter 5. That is somewhere between Jordan and Jericho. And may I submit to you this morning that Lebanon Free Will Baptist Church sits in chapter 5. In my opinion, for what it's worth. Just the under-shepherd of God Himself. We are at chapter 5. This is where we are. So if you're going to take time to go to the bathroom or doze a little bit on me, wait till next week. We'll be preaching through the fire. But this week you need to understand, this is where you are. We are standing in the plains of Jordan and Jericho. God has blessed us. God has worked a phenomenon in our presence. We have seen many people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in just the last couple of years. All the glory be to God. Look around you if you do not believe, but pinch yourself before you look. I stood at the back this morning, and it's amazing how God orchestrates things. My wife's been throwing up bad, looks like a bed sheet. She has no pigmentation to her skin. She just looks bad. Can't even hardly talk. She couldn't get the kids ready, so I got up. I made them sticks. I put on a cartoon. I made Avery cheese grits because sticks wouldn't work. She wanted orange juice, and then Ella wanted a little bit of juice, but Mama says mix half that with water because I don't want her to mess her teeth up because she's a dental hygienist, so she's real cautious of that. So there's a lot of different things that you have to understand. There's so many things, but yet God says, you get ready because you got to go preach my word. So you go. Now, this morning would have been a good time for me to call Brother Mike. Say, Brother Mike, this is one of those sick days. I'm going to take a Mac day. I need a Mac day. Do y'all ever take y'all's day? You get two Sundays off in this church. Other than that, may you be condemned. May you be charged as so. Amen? That's it. Because either you're with us or you're not. God says you're with me or you're not. And remember, if you're going to decide to stay lukewarm and straddle the fence, you make God throw up, you make Him sick. Because He says He spews you from His mouth. So either you're hot or you're cold. Which one are you? Now the point being this. Tune in because I'm going to give you a couple more important points and then I want them to stick with you. I'm going to throw them out and stick them at you. Because you need to carry this home with you. You need to mull over this. You need to meditate over this. You need to pray over this. You need to fall on your face before God and say, oh my God, help me to be exactly where you have me to be. May I not be the funeral that's holding the church back. Show me what it is you have in store. So Lebanon Church stands on the plains between Jordan and Jericho. And you're going to like this in a minute. It's pretty neat. I'm going to give you a name of the place. And then I'm going to tell you where we go from here. All right? You ready? Insight. Vision. Catching the vision. If you want in on it, here it is. Now, look at a couple more points here. Circumcision. Neglect. What are you neglecting this morning? God gave me this message. It's for somebody. Is it for you? Why are you putting it off? You know what you're supposed to do, but you're not doing it. You're neglecting it. Well, guess what happens when you neglect? God has told us to sharpen our knives and let's go carve out what it is that's holding you back from being distinctly different for His call. Understanding that circumcision is important here because it was the Israelites who were only circumcised. And that made them distinctly different than any other nation. Though that is not the call today, but it does tell us this, that you are supposed to be distinctly different for God. You can't be like the world. You can't go to the old places anymore. You can't be the old man anymore. You've been called a new creature in Christ. And there will always be a struggle between the old man and the new man. You can't live in the world anymore. You've been called to be a peculiar person. And to be peculiar, you will be guilty of doing peculiar things. And if you are to be distinctly different, it's going to hurt. There were no anesthetics in that day. And sharp knives made of rock. Probably the same sediments of the 12 stones that He set in the Jordan River to leave as a memorial for the children to say, what's those 12 rocks encamped here at the Jordan for? Oh, by the way, that was the day that God separated the water and we walked by on dry ground. And it were from those sediments that the rocks were shaved and carved to make knives. And the people of Israel, these new people, the new generation, had to be circumcised. And it hurt. And if you are going to be ready to be carved out for God's work, it's going to be a little painful. I'm not going to tell you everything's going to be hunky-dory. I've already got it figured out, by the way, if you want to know. This is one of the million-dollar questions as Christians. Why do other people have it good who don't have God, and I have God, and I have it so bad? Because I've already figured it out. If you're going to be like the image of Christ, it's just going to take some whipping and some conditioning. So if you are a Christian, can I tell you this morning, you're going to go through trials and fires that non-Christians will not go through. Because they're already molded into the image of Satan. You're born like that. Because of the curse of sin. But if you're going to be like Christ, it's going to take some marathon running, a lot of weight lifting. When you're sore, you need to work it out. And God's going to work you and shape you and mold you into the image of His Son. That's what He wants you to be like His Son. But here's the thing, in the afterlife, you got it made. Where the one who lived pretty good in this life has eternity of torment, hell, fire, brimstone, where the worm dieth not. I've been in a steel mill the other week. Let me run off on a tangent for a minute. I was at the steel mill the other day, and we were having to work in there, and I've told you about the steel mill before. But that fire come out of that doggone thing. Just flames just engulfing. I mean, flames come out of there and just run from here to that wall. What we need to do is have a big service here one Sunday on a cold night. We need to have a big bonfire with like 12-foot pine logs and oak logs and pile them up, and let's just have a little quick devotion on hell. Yeah, it'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you act. I wish I could say, boom, there it is, and there's a little fire right there, you know? But I can't do that. But I'm not here to scare you this morning. I'm just here to, hopefully the Lord will convict and compel us to be more for His glory. Now, let's move on to the second one. Enough about this circumcision and sharp knives. Let's get to some better stuff. Let's get to some grocery. Let's talk about corn. All right? Looking at the corn here, will you go with me and look at verse 10, 11. Go to verse 11. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased. The manna represents Christ, right? He says in John that the bread that fell from heaven, which was manna, He said the bread that they ate thereof represents the flesh of Jesus Christ, and those who eat thereof, the bread will not die. You will die in this mortal body, but you will not die a spiritual death. So eat of the bread. You want to know how to do it? Get up and do it. Lord only knows to be told exactly how to do it, what to do, and where to do it, and how to do it, and when to do it, and just all this kind of who to do it. And we said, no, I won't. Because remember, the very first problem we got to deal with is negligence. We neglect to do what is right. Can I tell you this morning, too, if you neglect to do what's right, you're automatically wrong? Don't ever think for 1 minute, be fooled for 1 minute by Satan, our adversary, just because you said, I won't do that. Don't you ever think for 1 minute that you're guiltless. Because the very moment you said, I won't do what's right, even though you did not commit a crime, you are automatically wrong. And I understand as human beings, we all have the right to be wrong, and you are. So by not doing what is right, you are automatically wrong and condemned as though. Make note of that. Don't forget that. The manna ceased. Why did the manna cease? Because God. Now watch this. Now I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a routine kind of person. How many of you ever go out to eat? You go to the same place. You order the same food every time. Put your hands in there. Yep. I'm just like you are. Now, how many of you people are all neat and good and you sample and do different things? Raise your hand. Yeah, well, see, we don't like y'all. And y'all don't like us. But we all get along, amen? We agree to disagree, right? But here's the thing. I normally get the same thing. So when I get over to Jordan River and all these millions of people, I hope you don't think this was just a couple hundred thousand people. Millions of people crossed the Jordan River that day. They had to do it very expediently. And they made it across. But you couldn't get across the river and say, "Woo!" No, you had to keep moving. You get run over. And see, what happens is we have to celebrate. But we can't stop. You can't stop. I'm one of those people, I look at football coaches, I love football, and I look at these coaches on the sideline like Bill Belichick with the New England Patriots, and I'm like, man, he's got it going on. He's tough. Now, he lets his people know they're doing a good job, but he's always challenging to do better. That's the kind of preacher I wish I could be, in a sense. Not Bill Belichick, but that kind of mentality. You're doing good, but it ain't good enough. You need to keep going on further, right? I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate you, but I'm not going to let you get complacent. I'm not going to let you get happy where you are, because we always need to strive. And that's the kind of person I would like to be. But then I figured it out. Bill Belichick gets 3 or 4 months off. Preachers never do. You see what I'm saying? So I said, Bill Belichick, you ain't got nothing on this, you know, the commitment. But what you do is you celebrate. But God said right time they got into the land. You don't know where Lebanon Church is. We're in that area where we're celebrating a lot of victories that God has given us. I believe if we could run a parallel and a comparison, we've crossed the Jordan River. We've come out of the wilderness. We've come out of that unsettlement. And now as we've crossed the Jordan River, God says this. Are you with me this morning? God says, before you go any further, this is what you've got to address. You're being negligent. And because of your negligence, we're going to have to backtrack a little bit. You're still in the plains between Jericho and Jordan, somewhere in between. And he says, you have got to sharpen your knives, and it's time to carve out and correct that which you have been neglecting. Number one. Number two, you must understand that the manna is not going to fall anymore because you are in the promised land. The reason I sent you manna in the wilderness is because you were unsettled and my grace is sufficient. When you need me the most, I will be there and it will be very evident. When you are weak, I am strong. But please understand that the second thing we have to deal with is it's not the same. Now that's a kicker. See, we're creatures of habit. And when things change, we get all blown out of proportion. Because somebody made you a god somewhere along the lines and they didn't tell us about it. You understand me? You understand? You get my drift? You're not a god. You're not the one I serve. And I don't listen to you. I listen to God. You understand that? Can I make that any clearer for you? And he says that you need to understand, today your diet will not be manna. It will not be wafer and honey. I know you've been doing it for the last 40 years, but today it's time to shuck corn. Now, you want to know how some people got blown out of proportion? Because it's not the same. Do you really think this church is going to run like a 1970s church? Do you really believe that? If God has got great plans for this church, does it not call us to do great things for Him? If you understand something this morning, you understand they're hand in hand. You cannot separate the two. So now that being said, you got to stop neglecting. You got to understand it's not the same diet anymore. Now, did they compromise biblical principles there? No. Because he said, I'll give you manna. But I'm going to tell you what God's been doing for this church. You ready? Manna's been falling down, raining down from heaven. Every time 20 people call me and tell me they're sick, 40 show up. I'm just using numbers. God says, let me tell you what. I'm going to keep you encouraged. I'm going to keep you moving forward. I'm going to give you signs. I'm going to write it on the wall for you. But sadly but true, so only so many people can read the writing. Daniel was the only one who could read it in his day. Everybody's not going to be able to interpret it. But God did not give you that gift to do so. But He all give you one. And are they working hand in hand? So now when God changes your diet and you're not eating manna anymore, you're eating corn. I don't know about you, but I'd rather eat manna than corn. But when you found out that God said you'll eat from the fruit thereof in Canaan for the rest of the year, you know what He said? While you were in the wilderness, I was making provision for you in Canaan. So don't harp and don't complain. When we were wandering through the wilderness in Canaan, we were blessed. But Canaan was being prepared, and it is a simple case of God's provision for His people. And God has provided for Lebanon Church. And just because you're not eating manna anymore, it's time to start shucking corn and taking God up on His promise because He has prepared it for us. Number three. The captain, this is the good part, and I still got time. I like that. I love to preach. Do you like being preached to? Sometimes. Boy, I'll always stand corrected to preach the truth. There's a lot of preachers that's been run out of town. I'm not saying here, but they get run out of town for telling the truth. But if that's the case, I got my bag packed. Because I'm always going to try to tell the truth and I'll stand corrected when I'm not. Amen? But if let's go out doing what's right. Because if I don't do what's right, I've automatically done what's wrong. I'll live with that. Look at number 3, verse 13. This is one of my favorite passages. Are you there? Look at verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. Remember? He's still somewhere between Jordan and Jericho. He sharpened the knife. He shook the corn. Are you with me? Somebody say amen. Boy, I'm glad to know you're out there. Here we go. Look at number 3. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, and his sword was drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us, or are you for us, or are you for our adversary? Are you for us, or are you for our adversary? Now I got to insert this. What side are you on? What side are you on? Are you with us? Are you against? Now, I'm going to do something very bold here. Ready? Watch this. This will get you awake. I don't know if anybody in here is related to him, but you better pray for him. But that man over here, who's caused us a lot of money. Out of a nothing kind of field. I'm talking about wasn't even planting no crops. I would not want to be in his shoes. But let me tell you something. He's not for us. He's for our adversary. Every time something got to clicking and rolling with God's work and his covenant with his people, who messed it up? Man. Can I give you a resolution on top of the other five you've got? Don't be the one who stands in his way. Don't you be the one who stands in his way. Lord, let it not be me, the preacher, who stands in your way. Because I know soon, one day, judgment will come. And I'll have to answer to why I stopped such a great wonder and work of the hand of God. This is not of a man. What you see in here is not of a man. This is of God. You can get in his way if you want to, but that's between you and your eternity. You'll have to stand before him. I'm not telling you this will send you to hell. But if you want to empty out that house of good works, that's up to you. You'll be judged and held accountable to what you did or did not do. When your name is called, you'll be ready to tell him why you did it. Pray that God will keep you near to him, because the father of deception, he'll work in you. And it didn't take but the one sin of Achan to mess up the whole thing of Israel, did it? You can hide it under the tent if you want to, but we're all going to suffer, and you're going to hurt his name. Now, enough about that. Standing there, look at verse 14, and he said, nay. Say that word with me all at once. One, two, three. Nay. One more time. That sounded good. Nay. You know what he told him? Nah. Nah. No, no. He didn't say he was for you, Joshua. He didn't say he was for the kings of the Canaanites. But he said, I'm not for you. You are for me. This is not about us. And what he said was, nay, but I am the captain of the host of God. And I'm here with my sword drawn in my hand. I am not for you. I'm not for your adversary. But you must understand one thing on this day. You, the people, the Christians, you are for me. This is not about God blessing you, but it's about you blessing God. We don't do this for our glory. And any time we ever stick the head up, the old man sticks his head up, we say, nay. Nay! But I am with the captain of the host of God's army. That's who I am with. Nay never meant so much, did it? Look with me now at the last part. But as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot. For the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. I love that. That's almost as good as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walking through the fire. That's good stuff, isn't it? Come on, we ought to get excited about that. Amen. That's good. But can I tell you something? Well, there's a little struggle in the commentaries and the theologians about who this man actually is. But can I submit to you that the only other time a man had to take his shoes off was in Exodus 3, verse 5. When Moses was talking to the burning bush in the land of Midian, And someone spoke from the bush and said, the ground on where thou standest is holy. Loosen thy shoe. Now angels have come to many. And because the angels come, it made them very fearful. But please understand one thing this morning. We believe that this was Jesus Christ Himself. This is Jesus Christ in incarnation. Pre-incarnation. Before He would take of the virgin birth of Mary. Can I tell you this morning this? Jesus Christ is standing with His sword in His hand. And if 1 Peter 5:8 continues to be in the Bible, and it always will be, that our adversary walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And as long as he walks, and as long as he talks, there will always be an advocate. There will always be a help. His name is Jesus Christ, and his sword is always drawn. There is no place to put the sword other than in the hand of the man who can. And his sword is drawn in whose defense? Can I tell you that he's already gone to hell and back and took care of business? Death, hell, and the grave couldn't hold him, friends. So why's he got his sword drawn today? For your defense. He don't need it. But what he told them, he made a very bold statement by holding that sword in his hand. He said, you're somewhere between Jordan and Jericho. Don't even think about looking back. And as far as you can see both ways, there's nothing. But when you look forward, as you are now in the promised land, you see those big walls right there at Jericho. Million, remember now, there's millions of people here now. They can't just camp out in one little spot like this. They're covering the plain somewhere between Jordan and Jericho. And they already see this great city with the walls. Now watch this. Now will you stay with me just a minute? Now people kind of wandering, your heads are down, some people are snoozing. Some people are giggling. There's some people just, you don't even care you're here. But for the next 5 minutes, you're going to be glad you were. When they walk, I'm excited about this. Look at this, watch this. But as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. If we as a church are standing between Jordan and Jericho, guess who's with us? I know there's a lot of people sick and dying, but has he died? He's standing with his sword in his hand, saying, nay, but I am the captain of the host of the Lord, and I am challenging you to go forward with me. You see the wall. You're scared of the wall. And God has not given us the spirit of fear, but He has given us the power of Christ with a sound mind. And there are some minds that are not sound. And you got that junk from somewhere else, not God. So I say, let's get it together. Let's get a sound mind. And get rid of the fear. You're scared you're going to mess something up. You're scared of what someone else is thinking. You won't get saved because you're scared of what somebody else is going to say. You're scared you're going to have to give it up. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to give it up now, or in the next life you'll lose it all. Hear me this morning, people. We are fixing to march in 2009. It's time to stop playing around. When Joshua saw the captain, he not only sharpened the knives, he not only started shucking corn, but he said, it is now that I get serious about the Savior. Are you serious? I don't even want to hear nobody say amen to that. I want to see you live it. Does he deserve it? Do you truly understand what he has done for you? Do you truly understand what he's going to do for you? Obviously not. Because your actions speak much louder than your noisy mouth does. So when are you going to do it? Tomorrow? When are you going to tell me that again? Tomorrow? You think I stand up here because I hate you? No, because I love you. I see an opportunity. But we stand on the brink of something great and we're staring at the giants. And may I submit to you this morning, the greatest enemy you've got is you. You are your worst enemy. You have no greater adversary than you. Who's going to stop you from losing 20 pounds come January 1? You! You can blame it on whoever you want to, but you're neglecting to tell the truth. And you're not ready for something new, and the knowledge of it scaring you to death. By the way, those are your other 3 points. When you sit down and you say, I'm going to read my Bible every day. And hear me now. Most people will not. You know why? Because you've been defeated by your greatest adversary, and it is you. Who do you spend the most time with? Who do you talk to the most? Who do you live with the most? It is you. You want to know why you're going to be slack concerning God's business in 09? Because of you. You want to know why you're going to be exactly in the same place come 2010 time? Because of you. You want to know why God's not going to get glory? Because of you. You want to know why somebody so-and-so down the street there's not going to get saved this year? May even die and go to hell. You want to know why? What's going to stop this church from exploding? Having a ministry explosion. Reaching the world for Christ. Isn't that what it's about? Will it be you? Or are you going to cover it up like you've been covering everything else? You can't hide it for so long. Your sin will find you out. And you not doing what's right is wrong. And the very reason in which we work in this organization and in this facility is for the glory of God. And because of man-made rules and because of your tradition, we will lose. But that's not what God called me to do as a preacher. I can't settle for mediocrity. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Who's supposed to be afraid right now? Look at verse 1. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, all of the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the water. Listen to this. Will you please listen to this? Heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over. That their hearts melted. Neither was their spirit in them anymore. You're not supposed to be afraid of what God is doing in our midst.
It is our adversaries of who you are supposed to be afraid. It's time to turn the other shoe. You're scared and you're anticipating and anxiously wondering what's going to wreck all of this that God is doing, and you and I are wrong. Let our adversaries be afraid of what God is doing and not you. Your fear will hold you back. It will stunt your growth, and it will stunt the very growth of the very body that you are a part of. Think about it, church. If you're afraid to pull the trigger, then how will we ever make the kill? How will we ever accomplish it? And we stand together. God has brought these fragments together to do the greatest job this church has ever seen before. We haven't seen anything yet. We have merely scratched the surface. And guess who holds that in their hand? Whether this is where we will stay or whether we will go. And it's you. You are your greatest enemy. So now, easier said than done. How will I do this? Are you afraid? God hasn't given you the spirit of fear. So why are you afraid? Guess what? When they opened the waters up and the Israelites walked through and they're facing these walls of Jericho, guess who was afraid? The people in Jericho. Not the Israelites. Because they had been in the presence of God. And if we are truly in the presence of God, you need to cast your fear at His feet. And let our adversaries be afraid of what's going on and not you and I. Be cautious. Use wisdom. Follow God's word. Never compromise a principle in God's word. But if it's Bible, let's go with it. If it's your man-made rule that somebody passed down from you, you need to pray about that quick, fast, and in a hurry. '09 will be a transitional year. The honeymoon's over. The church is full. We've got to make decisions. This 09 will be a year that no stone will be left unturned. I want our visitors to hear that so you'll know what kind of church we truly are. We're not out to be the Baptist Temple. We're not out to be Southside Baptist Church or South Lawrence Baptist Church or some great church, Cornerstone. No, we're out to be Lebanon Church. God's church, a place that truly impacts the kingdom of heaven. That's what it's about. We're going to be God's church. We're not going to be some other organization. God's called us to be what we are. Now, close all this up. Now, where are you at? Ready? Look at verse 9. This is it. We'll close out with you. I'm done. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. When did he do that? Look at the last word of verse 8. Till they were whole. You know when they started becoming whole? It's when they renewed their covenant with God by the circumcision. But they had to sharpen knives to do that. Had to go through a little bit of a transitional pain time. But then they were made whole. And after they were made whole, God said, now can I tell you where you're at? You're not just somewhere between Jordan and Jericho anymore. This is where you are. I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Which means He rolled away the blame, the shame. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. You want to know where you are? You're not just somewhere between Jordan and Jericho anymore. You're standing in Gilgal. That's where you are. A name that still stands unto this day. But is everybody at Gilgal? or are you just still left out somewhere between Jordan and Jericho? This is called where you man up time. Or where you woman up time. See, only true men and women can serve a God like this. You got to be a man to serve God. You don't have to be a man not to serve God. I'm not questioning your integrity. I play both sides. I know which one's tougher. You got to be a woman to serve God. You got to be able to tell people yes and no and mean what you say. But now, let me tell you why a lot of people are not at Gilgal. Because you're not ready to get rid of the negligence, what you've been neglecting to do. You don't want to shuck corn because you're going to cry about the manna that's no longer falling because it's not the same anymore. And you're not really serious about getting serious with God. You're going to play the game. You're going to trickle in the gates of heaven. You're going to make it by the skin of your teeth kind of attitude. But that's all. And you don't even have an understanding or a comprehension of what you're missing out in glory. And you don't understand exactly what you're being a part of right now. You're being a part of God building a dynamic, dominant force for His glory in this church. You say, preacher, you think we can run 1,000 people? Yeah, but that's not important to me. Last time I checked, there were 8,200 people in Effingham. And most of them are not church this morning. They're sitting at home. Drowning in their negligence. Not wanting to change what they're doing. And they're not going to get serious about Christ because He's some weak image. He's just a man. And I can get to heaven other ways besides Christ. And by them not doing what's right means they're wrong. And they'll be charged accordingly. But are we more concerned about what's going on in here, or do we want to take this and go out with it? Are we standing in Gilgal? The key to this is the very last phrase of this chapter. Look at verse 15. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy foot, loosen thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. You want to know what the key is? Will you do so? Will you do so this morning? Will you do so? We're going to make a ready invitation. I want you to remain seated, though. We're going to make a ready invitation. Our musicians, if you'll go. The minute you get there, start playing. Will you go? See, Joshua understood something that day. He said, I'm not going to have to fight Jericho. I'm not going to have to fight Ai. I'm not going to have to fight the Gibeonites. My advocate stands with a sword in his hand. Therefore, I should not be fearful. I should just trust him. Do you not believe that Jesus Christ has the ability to change lives? And all it takes is your faith. Do you believe in him? Will you sit in your pew today neglecting what is right? Will you? You're going to harp about the manna because you got to shuck corn, not realizing that was God's provision for you all along. And what will it take for us to get really serious about God? About opportunities in my life. I've blown a lot. For
so many things I've done. I've worked, played football, been a husband, been a father. And I look back and I say, I was there, but I never truly feel my potential in any of those areas. I held back because I was afraid of the unknown, the uncharted waters. And we stand together. We serve together. We see people are being changed for His glory. Yet there's still something missing. And what is it that you are hung up on? Can we unhitch that this morning with a free spirit and say, God, I have failed in many areas of my life, but starting now, right now, I want to reach my potential with You. And you know something? It makes me sick on my preacher's stomach that people will not do that on this day. God loves you. '09 is here. You're making resolutions. You're going to lose weight. You're going to read the Bible. You're going to start coming to church more than once a month or on special occasions. You ever given your heart to God? I know we run over and we run over again. Just write it up as I always give you more than your money's worth. Might be our last chance. Will you be here next Sunday? You know, in 09 we're going to lose people. You know that, don't you? Death or jobs, or we're going to lose people. Can you take what God's done here in Effingham, South Carolina, perhaps, and take it with you? So I look out here and I see all these young people. And listen, I'm not rambling. Listen to me. Are you serious? Are you ready to shut the corn this year, sharpen your knives, and let's start going to work? Or are you blowing smoke? You can blow that smoke somewhere else. I really don't care. I need to know that you're with people who mean business with God. Number one, you got to get saved. Are you saved? Now's your chance. How many of you are running around and you know what you're doing wrong? You ain't supposed to be doing that. You think you got them all. Well, with your infinite wisdom, will you tell me who's going to win the Super Bowl real quick? All I want you to do as a church is this. Get serious about the faith. Stop playing games. Stop playing games with God. God's not to be toyed with. And the reason you're not going to do that is because you're afraid. Leave that up to other people. God's people, not supposed to be afraid. So if 09 is here, let's march into it with the attitude that I'm not just somewhere between here and there, but I'm standing in Gilgal because God has rolled away my sin, because God has rolled away my fear, and God has rolled away all the reproach that's been on my life. So will you stand with me? I don't want you to look down. I want you to look me in the eye. Look me in the eye. We're in this thing together. Look me in the eye. If you can't look me in the eye, you need to go and make your way to the altar right now. I'm serious. Because that's guilt. I've got my armor on. I'm ready. This year will be the most challenging year of my life. I already foresee it. But I'm ready. Through His power and His strength, I'm ready. I will not give up. But I need to know that You're with me. That You're here because of God. That just because little snags happen, You don't just blow up and cry. And stop being afraid. What you scared of? You have the greatest force of the universe who lives in you. And His sword is drawn. You'll never have to fight a battle. All you've got to do is be obedient. He'll fight your battle for you. Stop looking at the adversary and look at the advocate. That's what Joshua did. He took his eyes off of Jericho and he put his eyes on the captain of the host of the Lord. He said, this is how we'll do it. Are you ready? Do you need to come and pray this morning for your armor? It's been damaged. You need to re-equip yourself. Move. Your heart is stained with black. You know you're not, you know as well as I do, you're not supposed to be sleeping around. You're not supposed to be sneaking around. You know you're not supposed to be doing those things. You know there's a God. And I ask you this morning, will you surrender? And will you be a part of God's plan? That's my challenge. With your heads bowed as we close in prayer. I want to tell you right now, if you want to move, move. Come on, let's go. See, we can't build a building worried about details, can we? Can we? We don't know what color we're going to paint the building. Details will change. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you ready? And don't let time be a telling factor. Let us know together that we are united, that we are together, and we're strengthened by His power. And let God have His will and way. This morning, if you're here, nobody's looking around, you just want me to...